What about Jalen's speed? Why does it look like Jalen is less explosive than, I don't know, what I thought I saw just during training camp even? Like, it didn't seem like in that game he was taking big bites on the ground like I thought he could, like gaining that edge like I thought he could. Is there more to that?
I don't know. I mean, he still feels, when I see him in person, as explosive as I've ever seen him.
That's good.
I don't know that they did. It didn't feel like they did as many of the quarterback like design, like runs and things like that. But yeah, I think maybe the surface had something to do with that. But you know, every time I've seen him, you know, operate, it feels like he's still very, very explosive. Obviously, he's not the same type of player, and he doesn't prepare to be the same type of player that he was, you know, 3, even 2 years ago, right? We're just not running him as much, and you know, part of that's, you know, we want to keep him healthy for a full year, I'm sure. But yeah, I can't really. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen necessarily that big of a drop off, but I also haven't been like keying in on that, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Coming up in a couple minutes here, another name for you to have a chance to win Eagles Falcons tickets for the Monday night game. We'll get to that in about 2 minutes. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Hi, Ed.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Jason. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Good morning.
Thanks, Ed.
Real quick, I just wanted to, you know, tell you, Jason, that how much I appreciate all the time you gave Philadelphia. I mean, you're one of the all-time greats. But what really, you know, I rarely develop like sort of these like emotional like connections to players. But what really kind of drove that home was when I forget who wrote the article, but when Lane Johnson came out about his struggles with mental health and how you supported him. That, you know, that friendship, that brotherhood just kind of just drove that home for me. So that really meant a lot. So really appreciate that.
I really appreciate you saying that, Ed. Thank you.
No, but, and of all your accomplishments, all your All-Pros, Super Bowl, I have to say the most impressive thing that you can do, I think you and my 2-year-old daughter are one of the two people that can do a perfect ass the ground squat multiple times. When you have to call out, you know, the protections, you're like, I was like, I just got back from the gym and had the trainer work on me for 30 minutes just to get halfway there, you know? So, I mean, it's like that's the only kind of athleticism that I can kind of relate to. But, you know, it's an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Really,
great to speak with you. Got to have the good ankle flexion. It comes down to ankle flexibility. That's bending, yeah.
I don't know how do you see anything from down there? Like, you can really see 11 defenders from a three-point stance with your head way, way down.
Okay, typically I'm not looking at the corners, right? So I'm gauging, okay, what's the front, where are the linebackers at, and where are the safeties at? That's like where I start, right?
Yeah.
Come up, okay, are they the tight ends to the right? There should be in an over front if they're a nickel personnel. Are they in that front? Okay, they're in that front. If they're not in that front, you know, alarm bells start ringing like, hey, there could be a blitz. Why would they be in something different? And then you kind of go through the game like that. And then after that, okay, the linebacker should be here. If it's a shell, they should be here. If it's going to be a single high, you know, if it's a blitz, they might be pushing to boss. Like, you kind of go, and then safeties confirm that. Right?
You kind of go. Like, this is how your brain works. It's fascinating. So to hear that checklist one by one by one by one, that every single snap you automatically go through.
Hey, Ed, give me a great answer. What amazes you?
6'6", 340 pounds, Jordan Davis running a 4.7840 at the combine.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, I remember, so his number at the combine was very similar to Jerry Rice's. So Jerry Rice was what, John, a 4.71, and Jordan Davis was 4.78?
4.78 for Jordan Davis.
I mean, that's the thing about Jerry Rice and Wayne Gretzky and Larry Bird, all three of them were so much more accomplished than their natural athleticism would. I mean, Bird and Gretzky were not... They weren't blazing.
No.
I mean, Larry Bird could not jump that much.
Yeah.
But some guys, they just are way ahead of everyone else in knowing the game and when to be and where to be and all that stuff.
I think that's
hand-eye coordination, all that stuff.
I think all that's part of it. And then I think another huge part is the smoothness of the athlete. Like, I think Jerry had the ability, as a receiver, it's more important to make every route look the same than it is to be blazing fast. If you're going to be like a possession receiver, right? And
Puka
if you can make that comeback look the same as a go route, the same as an out, the same as like an O, like if you can make all that look similar and get out of the breaks with timing, that's what it comes down to. And like you look at a guy like Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
Wayne, there's a great, I think he's on Masterclass where he's talking about his father and how he would train him growing up in his backyard on his, like this ice that they made. And he would just bang the puck around the boards. And he just had that feel for where that was going to be. But outside of that, you talk to goalies. He knew how to make a low shot look just like goalies a lot of times are reading like hands and they're trying to picture. Like, so all those guys that are the best, it feels like they're able to be unpredictable and they're able to make it all look similar. And Bird, for sure. I mean, the behind-the-back passes.
Incredible.
Like,
yeah.
So you don't actually need to be the best athlete from like a skill standpoint or a talent standpoint. I think that, and that's something that even my brother, that's a trait that he's always had that I never had. I was always a brute, you know, pound. You know, I want to play every sport with a helmet so that I can just hit the guy in front of me.
Yeah.
And Trav is out there playing basketball and like making guys, crossing guys over on the play. Yeah. There's a smoothness and like a coordination there that takes those guys to the next level that becomes harder to defend the longer you go. Like it's, I don't know. It's, man. Did you ever watch Zinedine Zidane?
You don't think you have that?
Huh? No, no.
I don't know, brother.
No. All right, I wish.
So let's give you another name here because, as I mentioned earlier, you know the next game is a home game, a real home game, not a Brazil home game, and because of it, we're giving away Eagles tickets tomorrow here on WIP at 8 o'clock, courtesy of NovaCare. Now this is when you need to listen Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday leading into the home game for a name. So Friday you can string the four names together and win the tickets.
And the name is...
Now, I was going to say this name for tomorrow, but with Jason here, we're going to it today. Nick Foles!
Hey!
Who this weekend, or Monday night, that is.
How's the everyone
Eagles,
doing?
That's right. The Eagles will honor with a red carpet, a long red carpet, for Nick Foles as he gets... You got that, James?
No, I think
you
we got that. Yeah.
No, not very subtle.
Long! All right, so know the name Nick Foles tomorrow.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Know the two names that we gave you the last 2 days, and one more name we'll give you tomorrow. Again, these tickets being given away courtesy of NovaCare. So if you have the four names tomorrow at 8 o'clock, you can win the tickets for the Eagles and Falcons Monday night. So, Jason, let's talk about Nick Foles. I mean, you're going to have this day someday, his day Monday night. But it's going to be special. Can you just, like, try to put into words Nick Foles' impact on the Philadelphia Eagles, on you, on his teammates, on the city of Philadelphia? Like, how do you even tackle that one?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. I mean, the amount of emotions that everybody in the city felt upon winning that Super Bowl, and then not only that, but you know, Nick Foles happened to play the best game of his career in the biggest game against the best quarterback in the history of the National Football League, and it's just such a. I mean, it's the epitome of like a Cinderella story, and it's a guy that was unheralded, really. Wasn't successful at other stops. Like, I love Nick.
Yeah,
and like,
true.
I think he's a fantastic player. And he was one of the guys, whenever he's in the huddle, I felt like, hey, we're about to go dominate. But for whatever reason, at these other stops, it never really panned out. And I think that in some ways, Philly probably even loves that more. Like, there's something about Philadelphia, and we've talked about it, like, one of the reasons I'm doing this show even, like, they love their own more than, like, most cities do. And, like, Nick Foles feels like he's Philadelphia's.
Totally.
Yeah. More so than, like, I don't know that anybody feels like it's like this, like it just feels very, very much
like he was meant
to play for the Philadelphia Eagles and that there was like this divine plan for him to come here and dominate. And just such a great person, a great teammate and a fantastic player. And I don't know that there's any type of words that can sum up what he means to the city. I mean, you talk about like Rocky, like these are like he basically was like the Rocky of quarterbacks in the NFL, kind of.
Yeah.
How surprised were you or shocked when he was traded from here? Because that blindsided me, and I thought he was pretty good. I mean, you guys were 5-2 when he got injured, technically 6-2 if you play that game out. The prior year, he had won all those games, and then like he's gone.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised because I think you had heard rumblings throughout the organization that something like that was. I think when I heard the rumblings, I was surprised. But I think that, you know, at that point, I think there had been sufficient noise, if I remember correctly, to back then that there was probably something in the works. But, you know, in this league, they tend to move on quick if you're not like financially like beholden to the team, or you're not like a high draft pick. It's just, you know, it's a what are you doing for me now league. And yeah, we were 5-2, but I don't think we were necessarily performing as well as we wanted. I think that they were frustrated a little bit with some things. And
he was backpedaling back then. He was backpedaling. He was not as good in 14 as he had been in 13.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, he bore the brunt of a lot of that, and so did other players on the team that got moved on from, quite frankly.
Deshaun and LeSean. I mean, yeah. Listen, the three main offensive guys, if you will. Yeah.
And then we lost Macklin the very
next
offseason.
That's exactly right.
You know, and as much as Chip, when he came in, really took the NFL by storm, you know, as teams continually game planned us and they continually got that stuff, you know, we kind of like stalled out. We didn't really keep evolving, which was so unique because like that's what Chip's whole thing was. It was like, you know, being creative and innovative, and that's why it became what it did. And then it just kind of like stalled out. And like, even if you went to the 2013, we went out to like a big, like jumped out the gate to a huge start with Vic, and then Nick took over for a little bit. Then teams started picking up what we were doing, and we kind of stalled out. And then that Oakland game, where Nick set like tied the record for most touchdown passes in a single game, we unleashed a whole new package that we had never done, and like they couldn't defend us because of the tempo and they hadn't game planned it. So you just wonder, like, if we could have kept doing stuff like that, what that offense and Nick and that team with how loaded it was offensively could have done.
No question.
Because I think retroactively looking back, I think they looked at it like, hey, we're not executing. But I think, like, from my perspective, it looks like, you know, we probably were getting predictable, and it was making it really hard in certain categories.
215-592-9494. Ree, I'm guessing as the Eagles honor Nick Foles Monday night, they're not going to invite Chip Kelly to be part of the ceremony, right?
No.
Could you imagine that? And here he is, Chip Kelly. All right, let's go to Rob in South Jersey. Rob, hello.
What's going on, Joe? How you guys doing?
We're doing
super.
Good. All good, my man.
Jason, I just want to say absolutely a pleasure to talk to you, man. And I want to say without shame that in February 2018, you made a grown man cry. being at the Pray, man, your speech, I was with my wife and our friend at Tavern on Broad, man. And
Tavern on Broad. Great, baby.
Great spot. Yep.
The tears just, I'm not kidding, man. My wife was kind of laughing at me. She's like, you really crying? I'm like, this is the greatest day ever. But again, just appreciate all your service. And one other thing is that, you know, growing up, I'm 37 right now, and I had a hero growing up about how Philly never won, Philly's a loser town, and players... Some players got it, but nobody ever understood us like you. And I just want to say that I appreciate it so much, man, because you truly, truly understand us as a fan base. And for that, well, I think I speak for the rest of the city, are forever grateful for all your service with the Eagles.
Thanks a lot, brother. I really appreciate it. And, it was my pleasure. Trust me.
Yeah, so about the Birds this year, I just want to say, look at the game on Friday. I talked to Ruben and Rob Ellis before the season started. Obviously, Eagles offense, plenty of firepower.
Yeah.
We talked about how this offense looked okay in Jalen, you know, threw two picks. We still put up 34 points.
Exactly.
We left a lot of points on the board, off the board.
Yeah, no question. And, I mean, listen, I tweeted after the game, you know, I there was a lot of sloppiness offensively, and obviously the turnovers hurt. But there was a ton of great stuff to look at in that first week, and it was against a team that's supposed to be a Super Bowl contending, top of the NFC team. I think that Jalen did a lot of really good things. I think it's easy to look at the negative moments from that game for concern. But if I'm looking at it, they have a new OC, they have a new center, they're operating silent count with a new center and a new guard. They're in an away environment that's slicker than ice. There were a lot of variables in there to cause an offense to kind of be sloppy and to flutter and to struggle. I mean, we saw the Jets. Everybody's claiming that the Jets are going to be the best team in the NFL. And it's just not that simple. You got all these new pieces, game one, to be clicking and humming like that. And I thought for them to put up that amount of points, week one, with all of those new things, even with the amount of talent they have, was an impressive performance offensively.
Hey, Rob, give me what amazes you.
Oh, what amazes me. I joked around. I don't really have an answer. I'm going to say James Seltzer.
Great answer, Rob.
Come on, man. Even Larry Anderson doesn't like your answer.
No excuse for that kind of answer.
You should keep your mouth shut.
Well, that caller should have kept his mouth shut. Better to have no answer than that freaking answer.